Chapter 64. The English heads declined to recognize the government of Joseph, King of Spain, as that of the now ruling dynasty, but only Ferdinand's. I'll get to Moscow and send thence my rejoinder. France shall wage another 50 years of wasting war before a Bourbon shall remount the throne of restless Spain. A flash lights his eyes. But this long journey now just set a trip as my choice way to India, and 'tis there that I shall next bombard the British rule. With Moscow taken, Russia prone and crushed, to attain the Ganges as simplicity auxiliaries from Tiflis backing me. Once ripped by a French sword, the scaffolding of English merchant mastership in Indiana will fall a wreck. Vast, it is true, must bulk an eastern scheme so planned, but I could work it. Man has worse fortune, but scant ears for war. I am good for another 5. Spirit of the pities, why doth he go? I see returning in a chattering flock bleached skeletons, instead of this array invincibly equipped. Spirit of the years, I'll show you why. The unnatural light before seen usurps that of the sun, bringing into view, like breezes made visible, the films or brain tissues of the immanent will that pervade all things, ramifying through the whole army, Napoleon included, and moving them to its inexplicable artistries. Napoleon, with sudden despondency, that which has worked will work. Since Laud I bridge the force I then felt move me moves me, on whether I will or no, and oftentimes against my better mind. Why am I here? By laws imposed on me inexorably. History makes use of me to weave her web to her long, while aforetime figured mesh and contemplated charactery. No more. Well, war's my trade, and whencesoever springs this one in hand, they'll label it with my name.
The natural light returns and the anatomy of the will disappears. Napoleon mounts his horse and descends in the rear of his host to the banks of the Niemen. His face puts on a saturnine humor, and he hums an air.
Malbrough s'en va t'en guerre, Myronton, Myronton, Moronton. Malbrough s'en va t'en guerre, ni sait quandary viendra.
Exeunt Napoleon and his staff.
Spirit sinister, it is kind of his imperial majesty to give me a lead.
Sings.
Monsieur de Malbrough est mort, Myronton, Myronton, Moronton. Monsieur de Malbrough est mort et enter.
Anon the figure of Napoleon, diminished to the aspect of a doll, reappears in front of his suite on the plain below. He rides across the swaying bridge. Since the morning the sky has grown overcast, and its blackness seems now to envelope the retreating array on the other side of the stream. The storm bursts with thunder and lightning, the river turns leaden, and the scene is blotted out by the torrents of rain.
Scene 2, the fort of Santa Marta, Salamanca.
We are in Spain, on a July night of the same summer, the air being hot and heavy. In the darkness the ripple of the river torrents can be heard over the ford, which is near the foreground of the scene. Against the gloomy north sky to the left, lightnings flash revealing rugged heights in that quarter. From the heights comes to the ear the tramp of soldiery, broke and irregular, as by obstacles in their descent, as yet they are some distance off. On heights to the right hand, on the other side of the river, glimmer the bivouac fires of the French under Marmont. The lightning quickens, with rolls of thunder, and a few large drops of rain fall. A sentinel stands close to the ford, and beyond him is the ford house, a shed open towards the roadway and the spectator. It is lit by a single lantern, and occupied by some half-dozen English dragoons with a sergeant and corporal, who form part of a mounted patrol, their horses being picketed at the entrance. They are seated on a bench, and appear to be waiting with some deep intent, speaking in murmurs only. The thunderstorm increases till it drowns the noise of the ford, and of the descending battalions, making them seem further off than before. The sentinel is about to retreat to the shed, when he discerns two female figures in the gloom. Enter Mrs. Dalbiac and Mrs. Prescott, English officers' wives.
Sentinel, where there's war there's women, and where there's women there's trouble.
Aloud, who goes there? Mrs. Dalbiak, we must reveal who we are, I fear, to her companion.
Friends.
To Sentinel. Sentinel, advance and give the countersign.
Mrs. Dalbiak, oh, but we can't.
Sentinel, consequent which, you must retreat. By Lord Wellington's strict regulations, women of loose character are to be excluded from the lines for moral reasons, namely, that they are often employed by the enemy as spies.
Mrs. Prescott, dear good soldier, we are English ladies benighted, having mistaken our way back to Salamanca, and we want shelter from the storm.
Mrs. Dalbiak, if it is necessary, I will say who we are. I am Mrs. Dalbiak, wife of the Lieutenant Colonel of the 4th Light Dragoons, and this lady is the wife of Captain Prescott of the 7th Fusiliers. We went out to Cristobal to look for our husbands, but found the army had moved.
Sentinel incredulously, wives?
Oh, not today. I have heard such titles of courtesy afore, but they never shake me.
Quote begins other female words than wives.
You will have trouble, good dames, to get into Salamanca tonight. You will be challenged all the way down, and shot without clergy, if you can't give the countersign.
Mrs. Prescott, then surely you'll tell us what it is, good kind man.
Sentinel, well have ye earned enough to pay for knowing? Government wages poor pickings for watching here in the rain. How much can ye stand?
Mrs. Dalbiak, half a dozen pesetas.
Sentinel, very well, my dear. I was always tender-hearted. Come along.
They advance and hand the money.
The pass to night is Elchester Steeple. That will take you into the town when the weather clears.
You won't have to cross the ford.
You can get temporary shelter in the shed there.
As the ladies move towards the shed, the tramp of the infantry draws near the ford, which the downfall has made to purl more boisterously. The twain enter the shed, and the dragoons look up inquiringly.
Mrs. Dalbiak, two dragoons, the French are luckier than you are, men. You will have a wet advance across this ford, but they have a dry retreat by the bridge at Alba.
Sergeant of patrol, starting from a doze, the mouse that she's a dry retreat?
Not they, my dear. A Spanish garrison is in the castle that commands the bridge at Alba.
Mrs. Dalbiak, a peasant told us, if we understood rightly, that he saw the Spanish withdraw, and the enemy place a garrison there themselves.
The sergeant hastily calls up two troopers, who mount and ride off with the intelligence.
Sergeant, you've done us a good turn, it is true, darling. Not that Lord Wellington will believe it when he gets the news.
Why, if my eyes don't deceive me, ma'am, that's Colonel Dalbiak's lady.
Mrs. Dalbiak,
yes, sergeant. I am over here with him, as you have heard, no doubt, and lodging in Salamanca. We lost our way, and got caught in the storm, and want shelter a while.
Sergeant, certainly, ma'am. I'll give you an escort back, as soon as the division has crossed and the weather clears.
Mrs. Prescott anxiously, have you heard, sergeant, if there's to be a battle tomorrow?
Sergeant, yes, ma'am. Everything shows it.
Mrs. Dalbiak, to Mrs. Prescott, our news would have passed us in. We have wasted 6 pesetas.
Mrs. Prescott, mournfully, I don't mind that, so much as that I have brought the children from Ireland. This coming battle frightens me.
Spirit of the years, this is her prescient pang of widowhood.
Ere Salamanca clang tomorrow's close, she'll find her consort stiff among the slain.
The infantry regiments now reach the ford. The storm increases in strength, the stream flows more furiously, yet the columns of foot enter it and begin crossing. The lightning is continuous. The faint lantern in the ford house is paled by the sheets of fire without, which flap round the bayonets of the crossing men, and reflect upon the foaming torrent.
Chorus of the pities, aerial music, the skies fling flame on this ancient land. And drenched and drowned is the burnt blown sand that spreads its mantle of yellow-gray round old Salmantica today, while marching men come, band on band,
who read not as a reprimand to mortal moils that, as 'twere planned in mockery of their mimic fray, the skies fling flame. Since sad Karuna's desperate stand horrors unsummed, with heavy hand, have smitten such as these. But they still headily pursue their way, though flood and foe confront them, and the skies fling flame.
The whole of the English division gets across by degrees, and their invisible tramp is heard ascending the opposite heights as the lightnings dwindle and the spectacle disappears.
Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.